numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Wyatt Tomchek in for the vacation in Kelly Bidlin. What's happening, Wyatt?
I'm good, Gil. How was your vacation?
It was fantastic, which I'll get to momentarily because it steered me towards a ridiculous bet. But I was in Maui, mm-hmm. and they didn't have NBC on the TV. So I didn't get any. By the way, can we thank Jared first of all before we get into all that? I apologize to Jared. Jared was here last week. Jared Smith was here last week. And he is awesome. And he did all 5 days last week, correct?
Correct, yes, all 5 days.
All 5 days, which is just tremendous. And he's awesome, so I want to thank Jared for sitting in all week. We always cross paths. We never get to hang out with each other, but I wanted to thank him first. So I was in Maui. Thank you for asking. By the way, Wyatt Tomchek, everybody, the voice of UNLV women's basketball, should be stated as well.
Thank you, sir.
You sort of just like slide that, like you don't even mention that. You have some street cred there.
Oh, I appreciate that. You know, and the reigning 3-time Mount West champions.
Sorry, forgot to mention that. So they didn't have NBC, so I didn't get to see all the good, like the really, like the prominent sports that we all talk about, like the gymnastics or the swimming or basketball, whatever. So I was relegated to USA, the USA Network. So I could only watch like late night shooting and things like that, right? Shooting, which is just riveting television. I don't know if you know.
It is so fun to watch. Like every Olympics, it's like, well, this is a sport. This is a sport. Like
exactly.
There's a funny meme. There's a guy, I believe, from Turkey. Everybody's got like all these fancy tools. The guy from Turkey just comes in. He's like one arm behind his back, like, yeah, this is easy. Yep. Another day in the park.
Wearing complete leather, so their body motion is stifled that much more. I learned that part about it. But it's basically the Olympic, the IOC motto is, how many sports can we eliminate that the Americans would dominate it? That's kind of their thing. But anyway, so one of the things that I did get to watch on USA late at night is beach volleyball, women's beach volleyball. And think about in your mind what that means. Okay, none of those teams. I got to watch like Lithuania versus Japan one night, and this Japanese duo, Akiko Hasegawa and Miki Ishii, they were unbelievable. Like they were so skilled at beach volleyball. By the way, not tall at all. Special numbers game investigation while I was gone reveals that being tall helps in beach volleyball. They are not. One of them is 38 years old. And they were unbelievable. Their ball placement, they got to every ball. They're just their technique and all this. So they crushed this Lithuanian team. So I think to myself, let me see what their odds are to win women's beach volleyball. They can't be the favorite, but I don't know. What are they, 10 to 1, 20 to 1, whatever? 1,000 to 1, which immediately then I'm like, okay, well, Lithuania must stink, right? But no, this Japanese duo now finds themselves in the round of 16. So I have them at 1,000 to 1. Now, they're still 200 to 1, and they're still like plus 850 dogs today against the Brazilian duo that they're playing. So they should be gone today. But around noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, I'm all locked into women's beach volleyball, baby. Let's go, Japan.
That's fun. You know, obviously, with the time difference, you know, when we work early in the morning, all this stuff's going on. So downstairs at Circa, me and Rob Moreno, we were just enamored with rugby. Because the games are so short and tense, and I believe it was USA. I wish I understood rugby more, Gil. USA, they won, I believe, the bronze medal. They won an equivalent off of a 99-yard walk-off touchdown, basically. I was like, man, I wish I would have known that when I was watching it. Be like, oh, man, this is such a cool moment. But, yeah, some of the sports have been fun to watch, especially the horse dancing.
especially the horse dancing. All right, so a lot of other stuff to clean up about both the Olympics and beyond. One, tennis. None of our futures got home. Iga ends up with the bronze on the ladies' side. The eventual gold medal winner, Zhang Xinwen, beats her in the semis. Carlitos Alcaraz ends up with the silver, not the gold, in an epic final where Novak Djokovic gets himself his gold on his fifth try at 37 years old, the crowning achievement now, the cherry on top of what is already a 24 singles Grand Slam title career, the greatest of all time. I think it's I think you can call him that now for sure.
I was going to ask you, and this might take up the whole segment, but who is your GOAT of men's tennis?
I think it's Novak. I think if you're still rating by slams, he was already that. But the one thing that he eluded, well, I guess two things have eluded him. One, a calendar slam, right, a calendar grand slam, which hasn't been done since Rod Laver on the men's side back in the late 60s. But the other one was the Olympic gold, and he wanted it so bad, and he beats Carlito 7-6, 7-6 in the final. So while our futures were losing, by the way, we also didn't hit the quarterly on Karolina Mukova either. She got bounced early. But the individual match by match, if you're following VSiN.com/picks, and all subscribers do, every host, every guest, all sports that they have bets in, we were crushing it there. Because the clay data was as robust as it comes here with this extra tournament. Started at 7-0 with a 7-0 day, and it was a 16-6 at its peak. DC sort of soured that a little bit at the end of last week here, but the individual picks have been great. So sorry about the futures, but at least if you were following the dailies, that went very well for you. So Novak, to me, is the go. By the way, we can say this about this is, that's a very sports radio topic. Also, before the Olympics, we're talking to, is Scottie Scheffler or Xander Schauffele having the best season in golf? I think Wes Reynolds said it best on VSiN tonight. Whatever happens, the Olympics will determine that. Scottie Scheffler wins the gold. I think there's no argument there now that Scheffler had the best year in golf when he gets the cherry on top with the gold medal after his 62 to close out the Olympic golf tournament. So it's been awesome. Baseball, we had our monthly bets. Remember, we have sort of had a cottage industry of this year. Famously, again, Guardians lose one out away, 65-1 in March, April. Then we come a day short, finishing third in June. 65-1 was the March, April. 16-1 was the June most wins, both at Circa and William Hill Caesars. So that fell just short. We won on the Astros in the month of June. Pardon me, that was May of the Guardians, the second one. We won on the Astros in the month of June at 25-1 and 17-1 in dramatic fashion. And then this was our worst performance in July. We had the Royals, and the Royals at 17-1 finishing ninth. And sort of torpedoed by that star, that 1-4 star where they went 5-for-34 with runners in scoring position, could never recover from that. And the Diamondbacks steal it from the Mets at Circa on the with the tiebreaker of fewest losses. They went 17-8. The Mets went 17-10. There was a dead heat at William Hill Caesars between those two teams. But the Mets now 2 months in a row have gacked it. They gacked it to the Astros in June. They gacked it to the Diamondbacks to some degree in July. I have them in August. I took the Mets at 20-1 in August, and they are off to a terrible start, 1-2 against the Angels. 2-1 run losses.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday. Those are the series that really just sting? It's like, wow, you got a team that's like well below 500, and you can't win the series.
Yeah, because in order to land on a bet, you project, or at least I do, you project what their record ought to be in each one of those series, and I had them like as a sweep of that series. So
I think they need Grimace to come out.
What's that?
I think they need Grimace to come out to throw another first pitch. I think the magic has worn off a little bit.
Yeah.
But can I say something, Gil?
Please.
You know, looking at this graphic or the standings, some of the teams that are up here at the top, look at the Diamondbacks were not in, I believe, third in the NL West. The Mets were third in the NL East. Pirates were third in the NL Central, and the Athletics. Who would have thought the Athletics would go 15-9? I like this market. You just never know who's going to be able to be up there at the top.
Well, and that's what makes this so great. We have, you know, the regular season in baseball is 6 months. We have broken it down in what may be six parts, but this is our fifth part now coming into August with the Mets. And it has made the baseball season that much more palatable. And I think that much more interesting. And you do get a sense, regardless of if your bet cashes or not, we were lucky enough, fortunate enough to have one of them. We probably should add at least two cash at this point. So it's going to be profitable for us either way, but it lets you see how, you know, people still think of the Yankees in a certain way, or the Orioles in a certain way. It sort of lets you see kind of before the public sentiment, oh, this team's really not playing well for an extended period of time. Obviously, the Yankees got a lot of pub, but I don't think like the Orioles did. Why weren't the Orioles able to break away from the Yankees? Well, it's right there in the sort of micro season. We'll talk to Borchardt about this. Mark Borchardt's coming up here momentarily. We'll talk to him about just the White Sox epic struggles. What are the teams right now? Because the Diamondbacks did win July. I don't know if – I think they're kind of a sneaky play at this point. in a season in baseball where there is really no one running away with it in either league. Nobody. Phillies on the skids. Dodgers, for as great as their talent is, have certainly not pulled away. If anything, they've come back to the field in the NL West. It's actually a race to some degree in that division. And in the American League, certainly the Yankees have just had a swoon of a summer. And there's nobody, even the Guardians, who we love, obviously, from our March, April, and May bets, even they, like, they just lack the playoff makeup of having a good starting rotation. There is, I would argue, maybe I'm being prisoner of the moment, but I would argue that this season, more than any, is the biggest free-for-all of a Major League Baseball season than any I can remember as we sit here and do this in early August. Maybe that will flesh out. Maybe that will change as we approach the end of the season. But right now, to me, bets you should make for futures, either pennants or to win it all, ought to be long shot swings at this. No pun intended. Ought to be really big swings at this, including perhaps some exactas for the World Series. I don't know about one team beating another, but at least, so maybe not the exactas, but at least a matchup. And not a matchup, I'm not talking Yankees-Dodgers or Phillies-Yankees or anything that's very trite like that. I'm talking about take a swing, and for me, and I'll talk about this with Borchard, the Diamondbacks would be part of that for me on the other side. The Royals would actually be the other side of that in the American League for me. I think if you make bets on teams like that, maybe you have an opinion on a team as much as I favor those two, maybe you have an opinion on someone similar, some other club that is similarly stacked right now in the standings. But that's the point. You ought to be making long shot bets in what is already a sport where the playoffs are already the most incongruent with the regular season. 162 games, then you got best of threes and best of five. Free-for-all bets. We'll talk to that with Borchard on the other side. Warren Sharp joins us later on football. Spanky's in the house. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't heard, VSiN is now proudly owned by Mus Burger Media. What? When did this happen? And to celebrate, VSiN is offering its lowest price ever, special three-year offer. This week only, get 3 years of VSiN Pro access for just $350. That saves you over 75% off the monthly price. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to everything we do, including our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, betting systems and analysis from professional handicappers, 24/7 video access, plus access to all of our betting guides. This limited-time offer is available to both current and new subscribers. If you're an existing subscriber that would like to add 3 years to your account, please email us at subscribe@vsin.com. Or if you're looking to subscribe to VSiN for the first time, please visit vsin.com/special to sign up today. That's VSIN/special. It's Gil Alexander. It's Wyatt Tomchek. Wyatt, I just got a text. You tell me if this is real or not, okay? You be the judge. Is this a real text or not? Hello, I am Emma from Deloitte U.S. Recruitment. Are you need a new job? Are you need a new job?
I hope you don't need a new job.
Boy, they don't make spam texts.
Well,
like
you
they
know,
used to.
Wait. So the my package not being available. That's not a real text.
I should respond. I do not. By the way, we get texts, we get tweets. This is from Chris Felica the Bear talking about my sort of talk there at the beginning about taking swings at teams this year in Major League Baseball. Probably more than you ever should at this point. I think it's more of an open race than it ever has been. He says, should be round robining Mariners, Twins, Royals, Padres, D-backs in exactas, he says. See what Mark Borchard says about this. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. You can follow him at BaseWinner and BaseWinner.com. What's happening, Mark?
Yo, I'm having a great time. This has been a fun season for me, actually.
Do you agree with what I the previous segment, I sort of said, and I don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but I feel like this year more than any other, we do not have a team that stands above the fray. This is more of a free-for-all than it ever has been before. Is that true or not?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. You know, I would argue that the Dodgers are probably the cream of the crop, but the, all their guys are hurt. I mean, Freeman's been out for – talk about an undisclosed location. I don't know where if he's going to come back tonight. So, and you put Freeman in there, the Betts is coming back, and then Muncy. I think that that's probably – talk about Yamo not be there, and where's Yamamoto? So you have all these injuries with this Dodger team, but if they're healthy, that's a really good team. It's a big if, though, Gil.
Yeah, Freeman, of course, absent because of an illness to his son, which has obviously been something he's had to tend to. So let me just ask you, this, though. So my theory being, folks should absolutely, because of how the playoffs are already, right? Baseball, even in years where there was a supposedly dominant team in a regular season, whether it's the Yankees or Dodgers or whomever, even in those years, the way that the playoff shakes out, right? Best of threes, best of fives, if you're lucky enough to clear the best of threes, those are still like cruel rewards for playing 162 games, winning a division. Like you could go out, as Billy Beane famously said, my shiz doesn't work in the postseason, right? That's the thing. So now you have it where these teams are not nearly as dominant, at least to my eye. Shouldn't you be taking swings at teams that are sort of bubbly right now, that are kind of under the radar to the casual fan? And if so, what would those clubs be?
Well, I tell you, if you're going to look for a long shot, I would have to say you want to go with a team that has a good bullpen. And a couple of weeks ago, one of the many weeks that you've been out on vacation, Gil, I'm giving you a hard time. I thought Texas was a good opportunity. You know, I have their bullpen ranked number one in baseball, and they're getting DeGrom back. So, like, that's a huge deal. Like, arguably the best pitcher in the league. When's he coming back? And it's like, you just can't get enough information on it. So Texas for me, at like whatever price, especially if they get DeGrom back, because that's an automatic win with the best bullpen. Cleveland's pretty good. I think they're 11-1 to win the whole thing. And their bullpen's number two in baseball. So I think for me, it's like, you know, these bullpens are so important in, you know, postseason play towards the end of the season, and the Padres have done pretty good there too, seventh in baseball. So those would be three teams that I would say would have as much chance as the next team based on the ability of their bullpens, you know.
Based on the ability of their bullpens, because the two teams I threw out were the Diamondbacks and the Royals. I feel like the Royals starters are sort of under the radar. We'll get to the Cy Young tracker a little later on. But they're three deep, which has always been a great sort of, you know, understanding your bullpen emphasis. That's always been a tried and true way of, you know, having success in the postseason, having good frontline rotation. The Diamondbacks are getting starting pitcher reinforcement coming, with Merrill Kelly being the biggest example of that. And they did address the bullpen, and they're kind of doing everything they're doing so quietly. I just wonder how you feel about those two teams.
Well, looking at the Diamondbacks, I don't share your sentiment. I don't like Zach Gallen. I think he's about league average. Jordan Montgomery's been pretty bad. Fott has really been fighting. He's fighting the battle, and he's good. So for me, their starting pitching is probably mid pack. The Royals are an interesting study. I don't like their bullpen particularly. They're about mid-pack from a bullpen standpoint. The starting pitching for me, there's better starting pitching out there, including I have them right between the Cubs and the Nationals in my starting pitching rankings. So I don't share that sentiment. I know the market's different, and I don't know if I'm in the, you know, the minority, but you know, based on the way I do it, Gil, and I look at strikeout percentage, walk percentage, and ground ball percentage, those are pretty much the metrics I use for that. And I'm not really that thrilled on either team. Sorry, Gil.
No, that's all right. That's why we have you here, because I want to get your perspective, because yours is the most numbers driven, and you're the guy who a few years back, 2021, you came on this show. I think it was July 31st. I don't think it was August 5th. So it was 5 days before this, 3 years ago. And you said, Robbie Ray, AL Cy Young, 100-1. And it cashed. Do you have a Cy Young play, AL or NL, right now that you like?
This is a really tough market to predict, Gil, in my opinion. I don't really have anything from a standpoint of value, I guess. I like Skeens. I mean, I bet Skeens every time he comes out. There's nothing that – I mean, he's striking out, you know, multiple guys, you know, up to 10 strikeouts every time he comes out. Like, how can you not bet this guy? How can he not be the Cy Young winner? And people, well, he doesn't have the sample size. Well, I mean, how much do you need? Is 100 innings enough? And that's the question, right? So how many innings is enough for Skeens to win? And for me, I think that 100 innings is a pretty good display of how talented you are. And if you had to guess, if you had to, you know, if you wanted to watch the tape back, and this guy's just dominant. I mean, I tell you what, Gil, you know, there's very few pitchers. Maybe you get three or four per year where you feel so comfortable with that bet. And with Skeens, like, first five Skeens, man, boom, man. I just, hey, okay, beat me with this guy, you know. And so for me, it's Skeens in that National League. But it's, I don't think you're gonna get any kind of superior. That 100-to-1 thing, that was maybe lightning in a bottle, Gil. And maybe that's a once in a lifetime thing, but I'll take it, 'cause I'll be ahead for my lifetime, unless I live past 100, which maybe I will, you know, if I keep myself up. Right.
Yeah. Skeens, by the way, 2-to-1 to win the NL Cy Young. And after the break, before I launch into some football in AFC East, I'm going to talk about Tom Tango's Cy Young tracker, which we always talk about here on this show. And even like Skeens' last performance where he didn't have a quality start from the tracker, like Skeens has no chance now. Like, it's just, it's the formula. It's so funny because you and I will get into the metrics, but the formula to you know, to figure out who actually will win Cy Young is so simple that Skeens is like in seventh right now, according to that. So we'll get into that. Before we go, though, your plays today, sir. What do you have?
It's a tough card for me. I'm going to go with the crapper parlay here today. And we'll start with this Oakland A's, the second leg of the base winner parlay. The White Sox, you want to talk about probability of losing 20 games, even at minus 200, like underdog. So like the favorite's minus 200, right? The probability of losing 10 straight is only 1.7%. 20 straight, it's like, it's less than like 200ths of a percent. It's unbelievable how bad this team, not just from a talent standpoint, but you still have to be pretty unlucky. So I'm going to go with the A's here. I like Sears a lot better. They're going to bring up a guy, the White Sox, Kai Bush, and maybe he belongs still in the Bush leagues by my numbers. And then I'm going to time in with the Reds, Gil, and Reds Oakland parlay pays plus 173. So that's really my best play of the day, Gil.
Yeah, this has just been epic. Like, do you have historical numbers? Like, how bad is this team in your whole database? Are they the worst ever?
I couldn't really tell you that because I don't really keep track of it. After 2 years, it gets deleted.
All right, well, we give you credit for the double result. White Sox lead after five, lose game, because that has been your Rembrandt this year. Mark Borchardt, everybody, at Base Winner. We'll come back, AFC East, and that Cy Young tracker next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, football fans, you live outside of Las Vegas but still want to compete in the NFL contests around town? Well, let the Winner's Circle Proxy Service be your ultimate partner for this football season. With Winner's Circle Proxy Service, you get expert attention to detail for your entry management. No matter how many entries you have or which contest you're in, they are the only proxy service that runs a program through every entry to ensure picks have been submitted and will even text you if you've forgotten to submit picks. That's big. Join the Winner's Circle Proxy Service today and turn your football season into a winning circle. Visit winnerscircleproxy.com to learn more. Winner's Circle Proxy Service, your key to the winner's circle. Man, it is almost that time of year. We're all hamsters on a wheel. Football, pro and college. Can't wait for contests. Wyatt Tomchek, by the way, alongside Skill Alexander, back in the fold.
Can I tell you a real funny story about Kelly real quick?
Please. Oh, Kelly, funny stories?
So, absolutely. It was last week. Whenever I know Kelly's going out of town, I come over, talk to him, like, hash everything out, what I need to do. We're talking. All of a sudden, he just stops. He goes, "It never fails that when I go back home to Florida, there's always a hurricane that's about to hit the state."
That's right. Well, he should probably know that there's a hurricane season, right? Like,
yeah,
that plays into it.
I think there was one time he was up in, it was either North or South Carolina. They had one hit as well. So I think Kelly's just kind of
the magnet.
Well, if you look at it, was it Kelly was here last year in August when we had the hurricane hit through Vegas.
I'm just saying he could shift the odds in his favor if he visited at a different time of year, is all I'm saying. He should know about shifting odds and card counting and that kind of thing.
Well, he can't predict when his buddies are going to get married.
Oh, that's true. That part he can't. I should say this a little later on the show today. Warren Sharp will join us. It has been NFL preview guide season, if you will, on this show and others. Of course, we had our own at VSiN. We had Aaron Schatz on FTN. We have two more divisions to get to. I'll get through it through the prism of FTN here momentarily with AFC East thoughts. Trying to give something different than others, than most do, through FTN. But Warren Sharp will join us coming on. Obviously, Cleve TA was on with his preview guide. Warren Sharp will be on the show here in about a half hour. Spanky will join us as well, Wyatt. It is Bet Bash week here in Las Vegas. Spanky putting on Bet Bash 3. Looking forward to that. He will be here to discuss a bit about it later on the show today. Mike Somich will be here as well. But because of Bet Bash, we always have a run of guests here on the show. So this week, courtesy of Spanky's Bet Bash, and again, Spanky will be here later today, tomorrow, Elihu Foistel will join us. Elihu Foistel, an author, a guy who ghost wrote a pinnacle newsletter that I was reared on in sports betting back in the 90s. He was Justin Seven as a forum moderator over at SBR for many years, for those of you who are deep dive, you know, have been deep dived into this industry for so many years. So he has a new book out. He'll join us tomorrow here on the desk. Captain Jack, the commissioner of sports betting, will be with us tomorrow here on set. Wednesday, Steve Fezzik will join us. Rufus Peabody, a couple great bettors will be here. And Thursday, Dean Sisson from Profit Exchange is going to talk about sweepstakes betting, which is a whole new area we have to get into. And then our buddy Matt Buckalter with an annual appearance on the show. Matt has gone through, for those which one was Matt? Matt is from Plus EV Analytics on Twitter. And he does the study about coach coordinator being static through the years in the NFL, being different from 1 year to the next, and how that will help with your season win total bets. And he's done really well that way. He's also got some thoughts on some awards markets, so we'll talk to Matt. So a full week of Bet Bash guests, and we can't wait for everybody. And always honored to have everybody show up on the show, whether we were at the South Point or now at the D. I hope I should probably mention to them all I'm at the D now, right? I should probably say that to everybody because they might show up at the South.
We're going to have to be filling in segments of all, hey, where are you at?
Where are you at?
It's this old NASCAR commercial. It's like, I'm at the wrong track. I'll have to show you that one in the break.
Let me get this Cy Young tracker. Should we do Cy Young tracker? Should we do a little couple AFC East real quick?
You are the star of the show, so you may do what you want.
Yeah, it was a timing issue. Let me do the Cy Young tracker since we're talking baseball. So I just want to point this out again. This is Tom Tango. Tom Tango is the inventor of advanced metrics like fielding independent pitching. He has, you know, through the years, done this run expectancy matrix, which is a great grid to try to figure out some in-game bets of what the likelihood of our team scoring depending on situation in innings. Tom Tango is a metrics Hall of Famer, a sabermetrics Hall of Famer, and he does. And by the way, he either listens to the show or he watches our clips. He follows on Twitter, so he's always chiming in on our feeds because we do this Cy Young tracker. And just to give you his street cred on this, 12 out of the last 14 Cy Young winners he has nailed, again, at the end of the season based on his formula. 12 of the last 14, so the last 7 years, he's only missed on two. 2021, Corbin Burnes won the NL Cy Young. Tango had Walker Buehler. 2020, which, of course, was the pandemic year, so it's a little fakakta anyway. Trevor Bauer won the NL Cy Young. Tango had Yu Darvish. So 12 out of the last 14, those are the only two exceptions. Last 7 years, he has nailed, eventually at the end of the year, with his formula. And I won't bore you with the formula, but it's a very simple one. And it just has to do with, like, you know, the most basic things. We prattle on about all these metrics and all these, we deep dive on these advanced metrics. But when it comes to who eventually wins the Cy Young, it's very simple. It's innings pitched divided by two minus earned runs plus strikeouts divided by 10 plus wins. That's it. You don't have to memorize it. It's just super simple. And so it's always good to see juxtaposed against the betting market at different points in the season, especially as we get late in the season, where these things are. And so in the National League, Tom Tango has Chris Sale as a big, well, no, now it is, I shouldn't say that anymore. It has now closed a gap. And just as I say that, as I update it now, Chris Sale with a slight edge over Zach Wheeler in the National League, Tom Tango tracker, if you will. Sale, by the way, the favorite, of course, the short shot in the National League Cy Young market. He is at plus 110. Wheeler is at plus 250. By the way, Skeens in between in the betting market, in between Sale and Wheeler. Skeens, as I mentioned with Borchard, seventh place in Tango's. Because, again, when you get to that formula, things like wins actually matters. This is again, the sort of way we have to sort of think about it in a contrarian fashion. For those of us who have lived on Fangraphs for most of our adult life betting baseball, we've minimized wins, and appropriately so, right? We shy away from the Kornheiser-Wilbon school of wins are all that matters. They come from that old school thing where baseball card stats were what matters. And, you know, when Felix Hernandez finally won the Cy Young in the early part of the last decade with, was it 12 wins, I believe it was, then we finally rejoiced. We're like, oh, finally, wins don't matter. Interestingly, though, Tango had, you know, if you go back, I said 12 out of the last 14. If I go back 18 years, Tango has gotten 31 out of the last 36 correct. Picking Cy Youngs. 31 out of the last 36. Felix won it in?
In 2010.
2010.
He was 13 and 12 with a 2.27 ERA.
Thank you. And Tango had him correct, even though he had only 13 wins. But he's got Chris Sale as the edge over Zach Wheeler. Third place is Hunter Green, and Hunter Green is at 15-1. So, again, Hunter Green, by the way, about 5 points in the Tango point system below Sale and Wheeler. So if you're looking for quote-unquote value in the NL based on where Tango's numbers are right now, and again, these will change. These will change from start to start. But his point about Skeens is even Skeens not having a quality start this last go-around, his last start yesterday, his most recent start, I should say, him not having a quality start hurt him drastically more than it would any of the others that are in contention, because he already had to perform at the highest level Skeens did in every single remaining start for him to even have a shot at this. So that's Tango's point. So just keep that in mind when you're thinking about bets. In the AL, we have a bet on Seth Lugo at 13-1. Seth Lugo edging Seth Lugo edging Tarek Skubal right now in the AL. Corbin Burns right behind them in a very close 1-2-3 race, according to the Cy Young tracker with Tom Tango. As far as the betting odds, Skubal minus 170, Burns plus 150, Lugo still at 10-1. But it's interesting, getting back to the Kornheiser-Wilbon thing, for those of us who have deep dived into advanced metrics, wins becomes this really contrarian thing where it's almost like the pendulum has swung too far. Now, if you do end up with 20 wins, let's just say, all of a sudden it becomes this exotic thing that we used to sort of downplay when the rise of metrics was happening. And now we've kind of got to the point where it's like, oh, wait, but if you do win 20, that's a distinguishing characteristic. So if a guy like Lugo or Sale gets to 20, that all of a sudden becomes this sort of bigger deal than the sort of sabermetricians might have you believe on a day-to-day basis. But when it comes to Cy Young voting, might actually mean more in the scheme of things. So anyway, value right now still remains on Lugo when you juxtapose the Cy Young tracker against the betting market. This could change, obviously, even from start to start, let alone from now to the end of the season. But every week that we get closer, the more this tracker manifests. We'll come back. Some AFC East talk next.
A number
Rutgers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Our 2024 VSiN College Football Betting Guide is your ultimate resource for the upcoming college football season, including previews of all 134 teams, a preseason top 25, power ratings, proven betting systems, and more. Sign up today and receive both the College Football and NFL Betting Guide, plus full VSiN Pro access to our daily pro picks, 24/7 video, exclusive data like our betting splits. See all of our subscription options at VSiN.com/subscribe and pick the plan that works best for you. That's VSIN/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek, in for Kelly Bidlin. Thanks for being here, Wyatt. You're here all week, right?
I am here all week.
Yes.
As long as you allow me here.
Bro, come on, stay. Hang out. Spanky coming up. Warren Sharp coming up. Kelly and I did not get to a couple divisions in the NFL yet, so we want to get those in this week as well. Let's begin with the AFC East. AFC East and AFC West are the ones we didn't get to. AFC East, and we'll do this through the prism of Aaron Schatz, who was kind enough to spend time with us last week, from the FTN Almanac. Bills. FTN kind of has the Bills as the third most talented team now in the AFC East. Doesn't mean that they can't win the division, but just in terms of sheer talent, they have them third. The biggest thing that they devoted their Bills chapter to was Josh Allen a product of Stephon Diggs? Did he show that he could succeed without Stephon Diggs? And they did say that he no longer needs Diggs, that the lack of a significant difference of any kind in Allen's accuracy when targeting Diggs versus everyone else, coupled with the dramatic rise in accuracy from each year to the next, certainly seemed to support the idea that Allen improved a tremendous amount on his own. But the issue is, but what about downfield? Who is going to make up for that and spread the field? Khalil Shakir, 4.4 speed would be the obvious answer, but his ADOT, average depth of target, has been under 10 yards in each of the last 2 years, and it was lower last year in an expanded role than it was in his limited role the previous year. Second-round pick Keon Coleman from FSU, great sort of off-season video of him in press conferences. Well, his 2023 ADOT, again, average depth of target at Florida State, 201st among qualifying receivers in the nation. And then Curtis Samuel, those of us who have rooted for a team that have had Curtis Samuel on the roster, he's a low ADOT guy who gets open quickly, tight spaces, nobody's idea of a deep threat either. So how do they address this? The Bills are aware of this as well. They go out, they get Marquez Valdez-Scantling, which, again, doesn't scare anybody, but at least he's got 17.8 yard ADOT, getting back to that, and so at least he'll go deep and at least theoretically spread the field. But that's what folks who are analyzing the Bills are worried about. Can they make up for at least that portion of it? He's not the only loss, of course, on defense. Leonard Floyd's 10.5 sacks are gone. Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, they're gone from the defense. But they do point out that the Bills missed tons of games due to injury on defense. Remember the Matt Milano injury leading the way, Von Miller, Daquan Jones. They had tons of injuries on defense last year. So they still project them to be a mid-level defense. They were number 12 DVOA, their proprietary stat, last year. So they got them still good on defense because they're going to make up for a lot of those, you know, injury-ridden games last year on that side of the ball. But the biggest point about this division, and this applies to the Bills, is if you're making futures bets and thinking about, oh, make-miss playoffs or division, that these four teams have four of the toughest schedules in football. Bills projected, according to FTN, to have the single toughest. New England second, Miami fourth, Jets seventh. They all play each other. They got to play the NFC West. So strength of schedule will not be an excuse for losing the division, but it could mean that that's the easiest path to a playoff berth, that the division title, if you think a team can win the division, that might be the only way to bet this division, because a wild card is going to be way tougher given the schedule. Dolphins they have as the second most talented team in this division. Finished sixth in DVOA last year, made the playoffs 2 years in a row, of course, famously getting bounced in the first round each year, though, because speed doesn't work in the cold in Kansas City, and then when your defense is decimated, it's not going to work in the playoffs either. But they have the Miami offense, once again, projected to be great, second in their ratings behind the Niners on offense. Here's an interesting sort of in-game or at least pre-flop betting angle with a team like the Dolphins, because you think about all their speed. The Tyreek Hills and the Jaden Waddles and the Devon Achans and Raheem Mosterts of the world. By the way, those four guys accounting for 73% of Miami's rushing and receiving yards last season. Only four teams, Niners, Bucks, Steelers, and Eagles, more concentrated in terms of having four players. But one of the things that the Dolphins don't do well is snap the ball quickly. And they were making the point, which I think is an interesting one I haven't heard anywhere else. The Dolphins, with all that team speed, you would think they'd want to have as many plays as possible. But they're like 24th in snap speed from snap to snap. And when they trail, they're almost dead last. It goes the opposite direction that you would think. So that's one thing to think about with your bets in terms of team totals, let's say, or game totals. If you think that they're going to still play that way this year, then maybe your instinct ought to be to under some of their totals. If you think that they're aware of that and they're going to try to speed things up, maybe that leans you kind of towards the over on Dolphins team totals, at least early in the season, or on game totals. Because that's an interesting quirk about that offense. As fast as they are when the play is happening, they are not fast between plays. And the one theory on that could be, well, these guys are running all over the field. Maybe they need time to catch their breath. That might be the only thing. But by the way, they add Jonnu Smith at tight end. They add OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., and people are like, well, that's probably not that big of a deal. Odell Beckham Jr., certainly not in his best years. But they point out that Odell Beckham Jr. ranked 20th in yards per route run last year, which is typically seen as the stickiest metric in determining how good a wide receiver really is. So they actually think that that could be an interesting addition. Anthony Weaver takes over defensive coordinator for Vic Fangio. Team did not like Vic Fangio beyond the fact that the defense just didn't end up being a top 10, which was the expectation under Fangio. They had them ranked 19th in DVOA. They were terrible in week four. They got beat by Buffalo 48-20. Terrible against the Ravens in week 17. Two of the worst defensive performances all year. But again, they were riddled with injuries. The quote from Drew Rosenhaus, an agent of some of the players: there were quite a few players on the team that didn't necessarily get along with Fangio. It wasn't a great relationship with many of the players at all. Great. But here's what the Dolphins did do on defense. They added Jordan Poyer from a division rival, the Bills. They added edge rusher Shaq Barrett. They added Jordan Brooks at linebacker. They added Kendall Fuller at cornerback. They also spent their first round pick on Chop Robinson. Talk about speed. If you had taken Chop Robinson's speed at the combine, his 4.48 40, he would have been the eighth fastest running back, for God's sakes. So the Dolphins, not only speed on offense, but speed on defense. They have them as the second most talented team. They were very careful not to sort of come to really definitive conclusion about these teams in the AFC West in terms of pecking order, but in terms of where they finish. But in terms of talent, they've got the Bills third, they've got the Dolphins second, they've got the Jets number one. There is one other thing to point out, and Aaron alluded to this, and we'll get to the Jets a little later, but Aaron alluded to this when he was on the show here on A Numbers Game last week. Their opinion of the Patriots is far better than most folks' opinion of the Patriots. It doesn't have to do with the offense. They think the offense is going to be, you know, it's going to struggle. Jacoby Brissett will start the year whenever Drake May gets in. You know, that will go however it will go as the variance of rookie quarterback performances tend to go. But they do point out the comp would be Justin Herbert in terms of arm strength and mobility. Hopefully it's not an injury comp as well, as Justin Herbert has plantar fasciitis now. But they're looking forward to the Drake May entry. But Alex Van Pelt, best year Brissett had was under Alex Van Pelt in Cleveland. But they don't like any of the skill position players. Adding Jalen Polk, Javon Baker in the draft, no big deal. Not even sure if they're going to threaten DeMario Douglas, Kendrick Bourne as starters. K.J. Osborne, most notable newcomer, but even he was like, what, 60th out of 81 in DVOA receivers. No big deal that Antonio Gibson is in the backfield. Ramondre Stevenson picked back up by the Patriots. So they're not really, oh, by the way, Hunter Henry, good for fantasy, but a catch and fall tight end. 1.9 yards after the catch. Second to last at the position behind only Zach Ertz. Austin Hooper was a pickup. So nothing big there, but it's the defense they love. Christian Barmore, Kyle Duggar, Matthew Judon returns, their best pass rusher. Duggar joined by Jabril Peppers, Jonathan Jones, and Christian Gonzalez, who will come back from the torn labrum. Cost him most of the season last year. So they said New England's defense was elite at slowing opposing number one wideouts, ranked third in the NFL by DVOA. They were dead last at defending other wide receivers, not your one and two, in other words. So they think the reinforcement of Gonzalez coming back will help with that. So they think the New England defense is fantastic, that it's a top 10 defense, and that New England may win 7 games, which is well over their season win total of 4.5. So throw that in the mix. That sort of blows your mind about New England. At least it did mine. But their point being, 2021 Patriots were a playoff team. 22 Patriots were an average team doomed by some legendary offensive blunders. That this year's Patriots could resemble, ready for this? Resemble those fringe playoff teams due to the strength of their defense. Wow. All right.
A lot of people are going to lose Survivor if that happens.
Oh, man. I mean, they're going to lose a lot of 10-7 games. He says they're going to win some of those, though. I don't know. Jets are the cream of the crop. We'll get to them later. We'll come back. Warren Sharp on his preview guide. On the other side, Numbers Game, right here at VSiN.